The first letter in the word dream is what?
D, domestic tranquility. That's right.
D, domestic tranquility. Create a visible and an invisible calm. We're going to move on to the second key now, the R. And the R stands for respect. Respect. And respect is, my husband needs to be honored in his own home. My husband needs to be honored in his own home. This one is so important. And, you know, many of you are familiar with Emerson Eggerich and the book Love and Respect. And it's such the way that a man feels loved is to be respected. And we feel loved by being cherished. And they feel loved by being respected. And we feel loved by being cherished. And the Bible is very clear on the different ways that we can honor our husband by respecting him. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. I'm sure I'll be reading some of the favorite passages of us wives. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Colossians 3:18. 1 Peter 3:1. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Now, in every passage, the Apostle Paul addresses the wife first. He does not say, husbands, love your wives, and wives, submit to your husbands. He asks us to ask first. You wonder, why does he ask us to ask first? Well, there's something, there must be something about the woman and about us, our power to really change the temperature of our home. And if we submit to our husbands, that will enable them to better love us. And, you know, instead of waiting for the other person to take the first step, I'd respect him if he'd A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Instead of waiting for him to live up to that short or long list, we take the first step. And we say, simply because we're married, because we made a vow to each other, I'm going to submit to you. It's the order of God, and I do it as to the Lord. And you wait for the Lord to champion your cause if you have one, or just have your husband become kinder if he needs to, or whatever the case may be. You trust that God will work in his heart if you do your part of the equation, which is respecting him, submitting to him as unto the Lord. Matthew Henry's commentary says it this way, which I think is really beautiful. The love which God requires from the husband in behalf of his wife will make amends for the subjection which he demands from her to her husband. And the prescribed subjection of the wife will be an abundant return for the love of the husband which God has made her do. You see, if we subject to our husbands, we say, you know what, you're the leader. This does not mean, you know, we're not like crawling over him, servants, yes, master, you know, it's not what we're talking about. But when there's a decision to be made, we're not a two-headed company, we got one head, we have one president, one CEO. You know, we might be the VP and every single manager in the house, but there's one president in the house, and it's your husband. And he makes the final decision. So if we can do that, we submit to you. You know, we respect your authority, we respect your leadership, even with the kids. This is the tough one. So you think, we're the mom, we know everything. And if your husband says, no, we should do it this way, you think, how do you know? You don't know anything about the children. But no. We say, you're the father and you're the husband and you do know about the children and we'll submit to you. You know, whether it's cleaning up the toys in the house or something far more moral or greater. So we submit to him. And the thing is, when our husband sees, wow, my wife responds to my leadership, what does that do for him? Gives him a feeling of, I'm honored, respected in my home, and he just loves on you because he's so happy that you respect him so well. You know, there's a book by Eugene Peterson. He wrote The Message, and it's called Eat This Book. And it's about the Bible, and eating the Bible is really good. I just started it. But he says, we have a new holy trinity in America today, and it's the holy trinity of my wants, my needs, and my feelings. And if the Bible doesn't cater to those things, we just go to another passage because we want to look for something that supports what we believe and what we want. So I don't like the submission stuff. I'm going to look at the husband, love your wife stuff, you know, because that is my wants, my needs, and my feelings. And submitting and and deferring to your husband, that may step on your wants, your needs, and your feelings. But we are not, as women who are disciples of Jesus Christ, we are not here to feel good. We're not here to, you know, just have our needs to be met. But we're here to obey the authority of what God says. And when we do it, guess what happens? Good things start happening to you. The windows of heaven start opening to you. And all God's resources for your marriage start opening to you. They're little things. You know, we think, okay, I'm respectful. I can respect my husband. I honor him. But there's those little foxes, right? It's the little foxes that catch you up. So it's the little things like, so you're saying to your girlfriend, you know, I'd love to go with you, but my husband and I, we can't afford that. And then your husband feels like, man, I feel like a loser. Or you say things, oh, your husband's so romantic. My husband would never think of something creative like that. And then he feels, again, a little bit of a loser. Or he says, we got to get on a budget. You say, there's no way I'm going on a budget, mister. You know, so all these things that we think are just us airing our opinion, they're ways, if we really turn it on to listen for it, they're ways that we disrespect our husbands. They hear it as a way that we disrespect them. So we need to, in our minds, think, okay, Lord, show me, is there an area in my life that my husband has asked, can we do X, Y, and Z, but we have not submitted? And is there a place in my life where I need to honor him so that he knows when something comes up in his own home that he will be honored and that he's not belittled in, you know, behind his back to other people? So the way this looks in our house, it comes in small ways. So this respect thing, you think, oh, I respect my husband, he's the head of the home. But it comes up in small ways. We're driving in the van, and we're really low on gas, like light low on gas. And I'm like, honey, we need to get to the gas station. Like, let's go. We got three kids. It's nighttime. Let's go to the gas station. And he's like looking for the manual. He's like, hand me the manual. And I'm thinking, you're going to read the manual to find out how many miles we can drive while this fuel light is on? You know, I'm like really got this attitude. Like, he's like, hand me the manual. And I'm like, honey, I start talking. Why would you look at the manual? You need to go get gas. You got to pull over for gas. You look at this. It's nighttime. Let's get gas. He's just like, hand me the manual. So I give him the manual, and guess what he's doing? He's getting his hidden cash out of the manual for the gas station, right? And here I am. We got to go get gas. Don't you know we got to get gas? We got three kids. It's nighttime. Why don't you ever kick it on the freeway now, honey? You know, and he's just like, give me the manual so I can pull over before we get on the freeway and get some gas, you know. So a lot of times we jump to these conclusions, right? And we don't let our men just make the decision or just do it. We were in the car again. See, a lot of this happens in the car, ladies. So we're in the car again. And we were visiting a church. We were out of town visiting a church, and I knew that James was really anxious and happy to hear the pastor. So I said to him, honey, when we get there, I'll take the kids to all their places, and you get into the sanctuary and listen, because we were running late. So I said, honey, you do that. He said, nope. I will take Lucy to the nursery. She was like one at the time. And I'm like, no, honey, really? You wanted to see the pastor. I will take Lucy. I was so adamant, you know, like, you go in there, I will take. And he was like, no, I will take Lucy. And he said it in that sharp tone where you're like, okay, time to be quiet. So it's like, okay, I will be quiet. So he took Lucy to the nursery. And later he told me, he's like, do you know why I wanted to take Lucy to the nursery so much? And I was like, why? He said, if you took her in this foreign place, she'd cling to you, and she'd cry, and she'd throw a fit, and you'd be in there for half an hour. But with me, all I do is like drop her off, like, see ya, and she's fine. And that's why I took her to the nursery. And we have to respect that our husbands know what they're doing. A lot of times we don't think they know what they're doing, and we think we know a better way. And their different way may or may not be better, but it's better for us to submit to that way and go through that process than just to hang on to be right. I interviewed Kevin Sorbo, and he played Hercules on TV for many seasons, and he was just in Soul Surfer, and he's a believer. And he and his wife, Sam, this is what he said. His wife, Sam, is like a PhD. She's really smart, knows all these languages. She's kind of like superwoman. She's actress, model. And he says about his wife, you don't have to flex your intelligence all the time. If anything, it's being more supportive with each other and more of a teammate with each other than being the person who is always cutting down. That's something that will make a relationship go away in a hurry. so we don't have to flex our emotional intelligence with our husbands. They would prefer us to flex our submissive intelligence with them. Our, oh dear, that sounds like a good idea, let's try that. Or many times it's just, right, covering up the mouth, biting the tongue, and just listening and letting it go. I complete my husband's sentences, the poor man, you know, he says something, oh, you mean you wanted to do this? And sometimes I just think, like, be quiet and let the man finish what he has to say and then respond. So many times it's, whoop, be quiet. And then I want you to think of the way you refer to your husband to others and the way you talk to him at home. You know, when we are dating, it's like, oh, remember when you talked about your husband when you were dating? Oh, he's so amazing. He's so romantic. His eyes, he's so dreamy. He understands me. We like the same things. There's so much, I mean, it was all so glowing and so positive, right, what we said? It was like he was our big hunk. He's our big hunk, like that candy bar, big hunk. Oh, he's our big hunk. And then years pass. And now when you see those same girlfriends, you don't say, like, he's so amazing. He understands me. Instead, you say, I can't get a word out of him. Why won't he say anything to me? He wants to do things that I don't want to do. I don't know what to do. We're arguing about money, you know, whatever. You say, and the big hunk has turned into a little Snickers bar. Instead, all we do is we snicker about him. Oh, do you know what he did now? Oh, you know. So I want you to picture a big hunk chocolate bar, like smashing the Snickers bar. And I want you instead to say, you know what, instead of snickering about my husband in front of him, behind his back, in my own heart, instead I'm going to say, he is my big hunk, he is my man, I'm so glad I have him, and I'm going to choose to think about the wonderful, wonderful things that who he is and what he does for me. You're going to choose those things. If someone were to repeat all the things you say about your husband, would it be news that's fit to print? Could we put it up on the big screen on a Sunday morning for everyone to see quotes from you about your husband or to your husband? And when you can say yes, you could put that stuff on the screen, then you know you're doing good. That's where you want to get to. That anything you say would be like, I'm okay with other people knowing about that. That's what I say to my husband, that's how I treat him, and that's how I speak about him to other people. That's a good goal. To say my words could be put on a screen and I would not be embarrassed or ashamed. I stand by those words. It's news that's fit to print. Yes. So Dr. David Clark, oh, he is so funny. He wrote this book called Kiss Me Like You Mean It, and it's about Solomon. And he revealed all these different kisses. Like, he's like, do you do the peck? Or do you do the across the room where you don't even kiss, you just, bye, honey? Or do you do the kiss and sound effect? And his whole thing was, you got to kiss like you mean it, like all the time. And so James and I were laughing because we were totally like peckers. You know, and then we're like, oh, so David Clark has really blessed us. So this is what David Clark says, and he's a very funny man. He says about verbal respect being the lifeblood of a man. He said, women have a need for this too, but this runs so deep in the man. See, don't we as women think we need it more? Like we need that verbal affirmation more? But the men are much more tender inside about the words that we speak to them than we think. He says this, most women are frankly lousy at it, giving verbal respect. Women get into the habit of only praising when the job is done how they want it done, when it's done really great. Well, you know, you've got to learn to praise mediocre. Praise pretty good, because the guy will stop doing the job if he's not praised. He'll think it didn't mean much to her or I can't please her. In time, you can gently add your suggestions, but at the beginning, you just want to say thank you. Isn't that great? Praise mediocre. Praise thanks for trying. Praise those things, because if he doesn't hear thank you, he's going to stop doing it, because he figure, I can't live up to her expectations. I cannot please her. So start looking for the littlest things and saying, well, thank you. I really appreciate that. That was really great. So you have to do those things that Proverbs 31:12 says, I bring my husband good, not harm, all the days of my life. So what I want you to picture, I bring my husband good, not harm, all the days of her life. So some days, ladies, all we got to do is just go like this. Okay? Whatever it is you want to say, it's not fit to print, just don't do it. Just say, I'm not going to say it.
And that might be the action step today. Just don't say it. Just keep your mouth shut. And your husband would be like, wait a minute, I didn't hear you nag, or I didn't hear you criticize me. It was just quiet. And that may be the best thing we can do. So remember, ladies, we might just need to be quiet. I remember, James, you know, when Ethan was only a few months old, and I went to a women's event like this, but it was in the evening, and I came home, 10 o'clock at night, 8-month-old baby, and I thought for sure he'd be asleep in his crib. They weren't even home, 10 o'clock at night. So I opened the garage, and I'm like, they are not even home. I go in the house, big pile of dishes from dinner, and I'm just like, you've had all night, and you can't do the dishes, and you can't get the baby in the crib. I'm just steaming, right? I've just come from a women's ministries event, you know, and I'm just steaming. He walks in at about 10:05 with the baby, and they're both smiling, happy. I'm like, where have you guys been? He's like, oh, we went to Fashion Valley, and we were looking for at the Apple store. It was so fun. And I'm like, you took the baby to the Apple store at 10 o'clock, and then now he's hungry, right? So they're sitting down and he's feeding him oatmeal. And I'm just like, it is 10 o'clock at night and you are feeding the kid oatmeal and you took him out to the mall and you didn't do the dishes? This is what I'm thinking. And do you know, as time went on, I realized what I should have said was, thanks a lot for watching the baby. Because his response was, a night's not going to kill him, dear. That's what he said. Night's not going to kill him, dear. And then I thought, I should have said, how many men would have taken their baby, 8-month-old baby, for 5 hours and let their wife go out and have fun with the baby, even dare take the baby out, you know, and go in public, you know, I should praise you, you know, like, good job, you had a good time. So I realize we as women, we disrespect our husbands by thinking we do it so right. Gotta do it my way. Gotta do it my way. My way is have the kid in bed by 8. Read the book, you know. But we disrespect them when we do that, that we need to say, it's okay for you to do it your way, and I will respect that. I can do it my way, you can do it your way, we can do that, and we respect that. So that's how we respect him in just those everyday things of life, and we build him up with our words. We don't tear him down. David Jeremiah says this about his wife, Donna. Because I live sort of a public life, lots of people say nice things about me, and I'm always grateful for that, but if I could take everything everybody ever says to me at a given time and put it all up in one place, it doesn't even measure half of the worth and value of what my wife Donna says to me. Her words weigh more than all the words of everyone else. That's not just me, that's everyone. You have got to be your husband's cheerleader. Be his number one fan. Let him know. Don't assume that he knows. You think your husband knows. He knows I love him. He knows I'm for him. He knows that. But don't assume. So this is the part where you take the bandana off. So you've been like this. And then you take it off and you say, honey, I really appreciate the way that you provide for our family. Honey, I appreciate the way you put our kids to bed with such tenderness. I appreciate that you're a man of integrity, that you would not lie, that you wouldn't cheat to get ahead. I appreciate those things. I honor you. You are my champion. I'm so glad God gave me to you. You say those kinds of things to him and you build him up so that he feels like, I'm the best thing that ever happened in this world, you know? So he feels like, man, I'm a Superman. I'm a hero. That's how you want your husband to feel. You don't want him to feel belittled. You want him to feel elevated when he comes into your home and when he comes into your presence. So that's respect. Listen to what he says. Honor his leadership. Speak well of him. Honor his requests. Elevate him. Make him feel like he's a hero. Because on that wedding day, he was your hero. You just keep putting him back up just the same way you were his beautiful bride. Both of us, the husband and the wife, fall off the pedestal over and over and over again. And then both of us work to keep each other up there and look past each other's faults and keep saying, you are the love of my youth.